Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, March 27, 2007, Carrboro Board of Aldermen public hearing. I am planning on watching the Lady Tar Heels battle their way to the Final Four, which starts at 9 o'clock. So let's begin.
I will help you get there.
Public hearing on the temporary street closing permit application for the Carrboro Classic Duathlon. Does the board want a presentation from the staff?
No.
Are there any people here to speak on item one on our agenda? If not, is there a motion to close the
public hearing? Be closed.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Move the item.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. Item two, public hearing on a conditional use permit request for Morgan Glen subdivision. Mr. Manager.
Okay. This is a public hearing on the Morgan Glen subdivision. Philip Marshall and Carolyn Wallner, owners of the property addressed at 605 Old Fayetteville Road with frontage on Swansea Lane, are seeking permission to subdivide their existing 10.2-acre parcel into two lots. All such subdivisions in the watershed district require conditional use permit. Roy, where is Jeff?
We're a little fast.
Well, we can meet for ourselves.
Okay, I have two people signed up to speak on this matter. Would you mind going ahead of the staff presentation, if that's all right? If that's good, then please come on up. The first speaker is nearest leaving.
Good evening, board and members of the community. My name is Neris Levy, and I live on 161 Swansea Lane in the Morgan Glen subdivision and have done so for the past 16 years. In attachment G1, I have stated my concerns regarding this project, in particular the violation of the Morgan Glen Homeowners Association covenants pertaining to business use and tree culling. To these, I want to add additional comments and concerns. Under the section miscellaneous stroke neighborhood information meeting, you mentioned that the applicants discussed their property with various members of the subdivision. As the long-serving retiring secretary of the Morgan Glen Homeowners Association, I was never consulted by them about this prospective development. In fact, the first I heard of it was through a letter from the Carrboro Planning Department on February 24, 2007. This is hardly neighborly. Secondly, and again in this section, I continue to have problems with the agricultural business component of this CUP application and don't feel that the implications of an agricultural business near the town's water supply and the middle of covenanted land overseen by the Triangle Land Conservancy have been sufficiently considered by the town of Carrboro. Morgan Glen, for your information, comprises over 100 acres of watershed-sensitive land. It is traversed by Morgan Creek, which runs into University Lake, one of our community's main water supplies. In this subdivision, the current residents live on approximately 1 acre of their 10 and steward 9, as I do. And so what we have are 90 acres of natural fauna and flora and some still primary forest. Furthermore, the land supports species of wildlife rarely seen anywhere else in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, such as bobcats and rare birds, and the creek is monitored by the Triangle Land Conservancy, which also takes plant counts in the subdivision using my land as an access. The CUP application report does not address the impact of the project, and particularly the proposed farming project, organic may be, on either the natural resources or the ecology of the subdivision. It addresses only human needs, and the prospective buyers of 605 Old Fayetteville Road have reviewed the project as energy saving because of its proximity to the shopping center and bus stop, ignoring the full impact of the possibility of active farming, again, even if it's organic, in the middle of a sensitive environmental area on the region's natural resources. The environmental artists Helen and Newton Harrison ask, who speaks for the trees? I'm here to do so tonight, but I'm also here to ask the town to understand the implications of ignoring our homeowners' covenants should they allow the land to be used for agricultural business purposes. They are placing a huge burden on 11 homeowners who are not only concerned with the dangers of implicated overflow verge side parking on Swansea Lane, which is a single fragile road maintained by the homeowners, but who are also trying to exist with nature and development responsibilities. The upshot of this particular application is a proposed homeowners ballot prohibiting any future subdivision of the lots in Morgan Glen into 5-acre lots, with its implied loss of future income where our homes to be sold, including mine. This is how strongly many of us feel about protecting this piece of natural beauty and heritage right on the edge of Cobra. I'm inviting all of you to walk the land in the Morgan Glen subdivision to see for yourselves what is at risk. You, the Board of Aldermen, have a much higher responsibility than that of approving a CUP. You have to decide what is more important to our community, endangering unrenewable natural resources or pleasing a CUP applicant and complying with legal parameters which are outdated and narrow. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Cleveland, if you'll come up.
Boy, got off to a fast start this evening. We started at 7:30, didn't we? Tonight? Okay.
So we got them done with the first item before 7:31.
I do.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished board. Reviewing tonight, public hearing, Morgan Glen Watershed Residential Subdivision, located on 605 Old Fayetteville Road. Here's the location of the site. It's just west of the mall. And an overview. It's the WR zoning districts in our watershed. The new lots are required to create building envelopes, which demonstrate avoidance of primary and secondary constraints, as well as stream buffers. The impervious surface total is regulated, and a conditional use permit is required. Of a 10-acre parent lot is to be proposed, divided into two 5-plus-acre lots, consistent with the 5-acre minimum lot size allowed for the WR district. Applicant is seeking a combination use for lot 1B, which is the lot that fronts Old Fayetteville Road, to allow for a small-scale farm that on occasion may include livestock. The site drains to Morgan Creek, which drains into University Lake. Regarding the combination use, the agricultural use does not allow on-site retail, which in general is not allowed in residential zoning districts. However, the accessory use provisions for residential use allow on-site sales, similar to yard or garage sales, at a frequency of 3 days, not necessarily consecutive, in a 90-day period. Because of this, we have a condition, number 8, because there is not a direct retail use being sought here, number 8 we're recommending be deleted from the conditions list, and I give you a revised staff summary sheet which shows it's stricken or struck, I'm not sure the proper verb there. As you also likely know, the subdivision covenants may prohibit certain activities. So were you to allow use 14.1, the subdivision covenants still would supersede that permission. Existing conditions on the site, it's wooded. Existing farmhouse with some outbuildings. The stream buffer, as you see in blue, going right between two land units. And the site plan, it has to map primary constraints, secondary constraints, and develop a building envelope as a result. Lot 1B, fronting Old Fayetteville, Lot 1A, behind, and the resultant building envelopes. And zooming right forward to the staff recommendations, we can discuss these one at a time if you like. It's mainly some technical issues. In the WR zoning district, a 20-foot impervious setback is required from the stream buffer. We'd like to see that on the final plat. It's not with the CUP drawings. Regarding impervious surface data, there's some slight discrepancies on the plans that need to be cleaned up a little bit, but nothing that is substantive. Also, a finding needs to be made by the board that this project is exempt from the open space and recreation requirements of land use ordinance per the provisions of 15197A. Which allows the board the potential to allow this exemption because the applicant is not seeking improvements such as water or road extensions, utility or road extensions. Number four, that Orange County well and septic permits be issued prior to final plat approval for Lot 1B and prior to building permit approval for Lot 1A. That's mainly a technicality. Orange County will not issue final permits until one seeks a building permit. So now they have provisional approval, and that's generally the way it works with Orange County. Five is just the standard boilerplate underground utility requirement. And then six is substantial, that the existing Swansea Lane driveway connection be removed prior to recording the final plat. And this will be a continuing condition of the CUP. And
so where would it be removed?
This right here would be removed. And then there would be a new one placed here. So the access to the lot fronting Old Fayetteville would be here, and then this one would be cut off. And the net effect of that on this road is zero. In other words, it doesn't change the amount of people using this road. It's just changes the location of the driveway. Number seven is just a technicality. They misnamed Swansea Lane as a public road in the CUP plans. And then number eight is the one that is removed. The staff recommends be removed because it's not appropriate. And number nine is another sort of an edit. The maximum building height is allowed to be 40 feet in the WR district, and that was it's in the land use ordinance. They mistakenly put 35 feet on their cover sheet, but it's 40. That was a concession given to WR projects in order to allow them to go higher if necessary. So that's a whirlwind tour there. Can I answer any questions?
We have go right ahead. We have the applicant signed up.
Okay.
In addition.
I'll be quick. All these homes are on septic in this neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay. And this is a question for the attorney, and if the answer is it's very speculative, then say the answer is very speculative. If we approve the CUP, and can the applicant use our approval to say that, in a lawsuit, I guess, against the Homeowners Association with regards to the restrictive covenants?
No, the two have no relationship to it.
Okay.
You basically ignore the existence of the covenants. You're not dealing with enforcing those, and the court would ignore the existence of the zoning In terms of interpreting the covenant.
Okay.
The covenants are enforceable separately. The zoning ordinance is enforceable separately.
So we couldn't use the question of violation of private covenants
right.
as in deciding whether or not to approve a subdivision or,
no.
or deny.
Okay. Okay. Just want to be clear about it. Thanks.
All right.
That was my question.
If there are no other questions for the staff right at this time, I'll call on the applicant. Mr. Philip Marshall.
Oh, boy. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give the truth from the true knowledge?
I do.
Thank you.
Hey, my name is Philip Marshall, and I'm the owner of the property. First off, after hearing Neva speak, I'd like to apologize to her because the first time she heard about it was through the mail, and it's, you know, I was abroad at the time, and this we've been working on this for maybe like 18 months, and it suddenly just happened in the last 2 weeks. It just really kind of like moved very quickly, and we didn't get a chance for everybody to know. Even though that I discussed it with several of the other members of the Morgan Glen Homeowners Association. And, you know, NERA's had some environmental concerns about, you know, building a house on the second lot. And nobody's like more concerned about the environment than myself, and I basically have made a living. I make my living out of trying to build environmentally low-impact houses. That's what I do. And when we bought the property, there was an improvement permit, and there is an improvement permit, like an approved septic for the second lot in the back. And Orange County has come out maybe 6 months ago, and they've approved that the septic in the old farmhouse that I renovated is up to standard. And so that basically means, in layman's terms, that there is an approved septic for the second lot. We're not going to cut down any hardwoods. Like 5 acres is plenty, I feel, to accommodate a dwelling for a family. And in essence, it would be a very inconspicuous house. And you're welcome to take a walk back there. I think it'd be very, very beautiful house. And I pursued this after talking to members of the Homeowners Association, who one of them actually wrote the covenants, and he said that I could subdivide the land. Maybe not everybody would be happy, but I was legally able to do it. And for the last 18 months, we've been trying to satisfy Carborough, and Jeff Cleveland has worked like incredibly hard on this. He really has been unbelievably professional. And we've had to jump through a lot of loops and hoops with Sungate, and we feel like we've, I don't know, it was a really hard process, but we would hope that we have satisfied all the legalities of the town of Carborough, and we would hope that people would believe, you know, that you know, I have, you know, a lot of people here know me as like an environmentally green builder, so I'm not out to, like, you know, I'm not a McMansion sort of a guy anyway. So I think, you know, that the organic farming thing would only be a great contribution to the community of Carborough. So, you know, I basically, I traveled a long way, and I hope that it gets approved, and I really thank Jeff Cleveland for all his work.
Thank you. Jackie.
Excuse me.
Philip, if you'll step there for a minute.
You might need to move a little closer to the mic so that your viewing audience can hear you. You're a little far away from the mic. Could you please explain a little bit more about the project? I'm not quite sure that I'm getting exactly what it is that you have in mind to do.
Could I just intervene here only for the purpose of clarifying that the permit before you is just to subdivide the property?
Okay.
What in terms of whether he's going to build a house or what size a house is, that's not a permit that's before you this evening. Farming issues are not before you here this evening.
Okay, I withdraw the question.
We're not proposing. It's not requested here that we give him permission to operate a farm or the agricultural component of his plan is. That's a separate issue.
Those issues would be zoning permits if they choose to do. The only reason this is here before you because a subdivision requires conditional use permit approval in the watershed. That's all that this board is being asked to do. There's about some other information.
This is a question of
thank you.
Ten acres becoming two sets of 5 acres.
Two 5 acre lots. That's correct.
And while I have you, that is perfectly in keeping with the way we wrote the ordinance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask the attorney one more?
Please do.
Or zoning thing. And does the applicant understand that he would have to come back for the other change in zoning?
For zoning permit if you wanted to have
agriculture.
Let me check that. That's what I'm checking right now. The agricultural operations are all listed as Z's as far as I can see. Or am I looking the wrong district? Wait, hold on one moment.
Okay.
It's less than that if it's for home consumption.
It's all Z's. They're all Z's. They're all zoning. All zoning. So the other two issues that have been discussed here is the use of one lot for a house, which of course it's zoned for.
Right.
And that would be a zoning permit. And the other, if they decided to make use of it for some kind of agricultural purpose or growing things or animals or whatever, that would be either just an accessory use, depending upon exactly what they intend to do, would either be an accessory use or it could be under a 14-1 permit. It would also be a zoning permit that's agricultural.
Okay.
So the only issue that's before you here this evening is the subdivision issue. Make two lots out of what is now one lot in accordance with the terms of our
That is the only issue we should be discussing or asking questions about, right?
Right.
That's correct.
So let me ask this just for clarity. That's all of the speakers that I have signed up. Did anybody else come to speak on this subdivision tonight?
I'm the surveyor who prepared the zoning permit. I'd be happy to answer any questions to the extent that I'm available.
Okay. Well, we'll call you if that's what we need. Thanks.
Okay.
Good to see you, Mayor. All right. Are there other questions for the applicant or for the staff from board members?
Nope.
Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. We're now out of the public hearing and on to the question of what to do with the subdivision application.
I'll move that the application is complete.
Second.
Moving second, we find the application complete. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passing unanimously.
I move that the application complies with the ordinance requirements.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of finding for compliance with the ordinance signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passing unanimously.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are we to make the finding that no members have a financial interest or conflict, or is that just for the planning board? Or do we have to do that?
I don't think that's a required finding. If there is an issue about that, then...
I don't think there's an issue.
I'm just asking.
Is there an issue about
that? No.
Okay.
My name's not on
the planning board did something along those lines, but...
yeah,
okay.
That's why I
asked. We have to do some kind of statement of... Anyway.
Of consistency. Can we do that in reverse order? Or?
No, keep going. You're doing great.
Okay.
All right. I'll move the conditions as proposed by staff in the revised.
Revised, deleting, I think it's number 8.
In number 8.
Yeah.
Conditions
right.
1 through 9 minus 8.
Right.
I'll second.
1 through 7 and 9. It's been moved and seconded that we require conditions 1 through 7 and 9. All those
In favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, matter passes unanimously.
And do we need a finding of consistency before we grant the application?
No, that's just rezoning.
That's for right.
Text amendments.
Thank you. I'll move the application as granted, subject to the conditions outlined.
Second.
Okay. Wait, before we vote.
Go ahead.
Nobody wants to discuss the EAB, or they can't be added because of it's just a division.
It sounds like we're constrained
okay.
by,
right.
okay.
yeah. by
All
the
right,
scope
now.
Of what we're being asked to
okay,
do.
That's fine. I just want to be sure.
And this is just step one in this process.
Right.
This is
all,
that's all it is.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, was there
a motion
for the...
It was that the application is granted subject to the conditions.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the application be granted. All those in favor, give us a good Scottish aye.
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 All those opposed,
you didn't.
Say
nay.
I would
say
aye.
Like
well, aye.
Thank you.
You're sick,
now, it would be helpful, and this just let me, just that if the applicant and maybe staff would get together with those people that sort of oppose some of what's going to be, may or may not go on there pursuant to the zoning permit, maybe if they have a discussion. I'm just suggesting it. I'm not requiring it because I can't, but it's just a good neighbor suggestion.
Sounds
well
like
said.
A good idea.
Thank you, Jill.
Okay, we are on agenda item number 3, public hearing on a draft ordinance that establishes a 6-month development moratorium in the Carver Village study area.
It's necessary for the board to receive public comment before acting on an ordinance that would amend the text of Carver's land use ordinance by temporarily suspending its applicability for rezoning and special use and conditional use permit applications in the northern study area. And Trish, would you like the administrator is at the podium to give you all presentation prior to the hearing.
Me? You guys went really quickly.
Yes.
Okay. I'm behind.
Oh.
Yeah. Good.
Sorry for that delay. I wanted to make note of two things we handed out at your places. The first is a draft ordinance that has a slight modification in it, correction in terms of the language regarding when we thought the Board of County Commissioners was going to adopt it. So it's the change is in bold in that I think it's on page 2 of the draft ordinance. And we also handed out to you a table that is shown as, it's an excerpt from the agenda item abstract, so it's revised from, I think it's page 2 of the staff abstract on this item. As you all know, this came forward to you from a recommendation made by the Planning Board last May, and they did submit that to other advisory boards prior to bringing it to you in June. And after your consideration of it over a period of several months, a decision was made in February to proceed with developing a process to – the context for this was setting up some time to review the Northern Study Area Plan, and this board did establish that process earlier this year with the moratorium identified as one of the tools that would be could be used during that review process. Since the Board of County Commissioners will be receiving public comment on this at the joint public hearing in April, and any action from them pertaining to the adoption of or approval of the moratorium will occur that evening or subsequent to that, that is pertinent to the effective date of this ordinance should you decide to consider adopting it. The northern study area is shown in this map, which is excerpted from the facilitated small area plan, which was adopted by Chapel Hill, Orange County, and Carrboro in 1999, and by this board in May of 1998. And so the blue boundary shows the northern study area, which includes about 4,000 acres of land, the bulk of which is in was originally within the jurisdiction of Orange County entirely because of the joint planning agreement and then at the time of the adoption, within these red boundaries, this town limits and the extraterritorial jurisdiction areas over which by other authority the town has sole planning authority. We've also included a map for you that shows what what the, again, the boundaries of the area are, and then with the legend, what the various components of it are now. The tan area is the area that's within the city limits. The green and the blue areas are the areas still within the transition areas. The purple is the extraterritorial jurisdiction. And we've shaded some of these properties that are included within the green area and the blue areas. Those are just pieces of property that we consider currently to be underdeveloped or undeveloped. So those are kind of a sense of the areas of the northern study area that are still available for redevelopment or development. Of course, we haven't shaded the Carolina North property here, but it or the Carolina Commons property, because they are included within the city limits. But they are properties that are in public ownership, and we typically kind of classify them because of the joint planning agreement as developed properties. So just to clarify, those pieces are currently undeveloped. You can add those to your consideration. This is the table that we handed out to you this evening, and I just wanted to point out a few corrections and clarifications. First of all, the column over here all the way to the right, just to clarify that the subject to the moratorium in this column is based on today's date, not the effective date, when that, if and when that might be, depending on your action and the action of the Board of County Commissioners. Second, we wanted to note that this is actually a crossed out no and a yes here, and that's because the concept plan has been approved for Litchfield, so their next step is to submit a CUP application. As of today, they have not done so. So technically that one is a yes. There was a question I received about why Carolina Commons says no, and that's because they haven't yet gotten concept plan approval, so they're not ready to move to that next step yet. But if they were to move to that next step but had not yet submitted a CUP application, they would potentially be subject to the moratorium. That is to say, the note down here says, as drafted, concept plan review of a project can continue. The draft ordinance does not preclude the receipt of or the continued review of concept plans. So it does, however, affect the receipt of and review of applications for rezonings and applications for conditional and special use permits.
And so for Carolina Commons, we have not yet received that concept plan.
We've received it, but they haven't gotten approval. This table just was showing whether or not they've gotten approval, and that would mean they'd kind of move on.
And why is that? They haven't been to their joint?
They have not yet been. We've received it, but they have not yet had their.
And when is it anticipated that they would?
Well, I have to check with the zoning division. I don't believe they're scheduled to go to the next meeting, which is April 5th, next week, yet. But I'd have to give you an update on that. The concept plan approval is different from the concept plan review requirement by the advisory boards. Going to that joint meeting doesn't mean concept plan approval. The concept plan approval process is one that an applicant works with the zoning division to see if they've met the four-step subdivision process that's spelled out in the ordinance. And since they are doing a subdivision, they are subject to that requirement. So
I guess the question I'm trying to get at is, so what is the timeline? What is the currently anticipated timeline? Because
for Carolina Commons?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they haven't gone through concept plan approval yet, but, I mean, if they're only a month away from concept plan approval, for example, then they would be delayed for 5 months, potentially.
The concept plan review process sometimes does take a couple of months, actually. So I think that Marty, I know, tried to speak with the folks at UNC to talk with them about, you know, what their expected time frame was and so forth, and what his anticipated time frame for them was, but it wasn't able to get up with anybody. So, but it usually takes one or two submittals of plans. The plans are submitted and modified in order to meet the ordinance requirements related to the four-step subdivision process. So I don't know whether or not they would be in a position to have their concept plan ready, approved, in order for them to submit a CUP by the end of August, the end of April.
Okay. Jack.
So
following up on what Mark's saying, if Carolina North does not yet even have a concept plan there, then, I mean, right here it says that they're one of two that would be subject to the moratorium, but even if they were subject to the moratorium, they wouldn't have anything in the hopper by the time the moratorium ended anyway, right?
Yes.
So for that reason, I know we have some more discussion to do, I'd like to remove them from this list because it seems a little like, why have them on the list when it doesn't really matter? And when we have other issues that are more important that we're dealing with the university. So
sure. I'd
like to see it removed from, like, later on in our discussion, so I'm going to ask that be removed from the list because it doesn't really serve any purpose and can have a little bit of a negative aura about it.
Then are you talking about the Carolina Commons property or the Carolina North?
I'm talking about Carolina North because they don't even have concept plan. They're months away from, you know, by the time they have something that's beginning to come through, the moratorium is going to be over anyway, so it's kind of meaningless to have them there. They will be subject to whatever rule changes come out of the moratorium because they don't even have a concept plan yet. So.
Well, and do I recall that this moratorium, if it's adopted, will affect only residential developments?
That's correct.
So, the only thing that's ever been proposed for the part of Carolina North that's in the town of Carrboro is actually a school site.
Right.
So it wouldn't be affected. I mean, that type of proposal wouldn't be affected anyway. But okay, I'm sorry.
The table tries to do a lot. I do agree.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry. We're just trying to get some clarification.
Happy to take it out though. We'll make that clear. If you know, break it down into residential and educational facilities for that project, since that's on the table right now under discussion. Just to reiterate that this is part of the Northern Study Area, is part of our joint planning area, and then what the specific provisions from the joint planning agreement are, in that there is a provision that allows enactment of a moratorium, but it does, that those provisions do limit the moratorium to 6 months in duration, with a one six-month extension allowed. And again, that the moratorium is not effective until approved by the Board of County Commissioners following this public hearing and the board's action in terms of adopting it. The recommendations that you all have at your places include a summary of comments provided by a number of advisory boards who looked at this. The Planning Board and the EAB specifically have recommended approval with some additional comments in certain instances. The staff's provided you options to consider, essentially adoption of the resolution's finding, the ordinance either consistent or inconsistent with policies noted there, and then adopting or rejecting the ordinance. And we have provided some other information in the staff report. I'm happy to try and answer any questions if you have them. Any other questions? Thank you.
We do have at least one person signed up to speak. Are there questions for the staff about this right now? We can always ask them later. So,
I would also note that Jean Bell is here from the Orange County Planning Department. Since the Board of County Commissioners are also meeting this night, they weren't able to send anyone else, but they did have communicated to us.
Not that Jean's not good enough, mind you.
Noting that the Board of County Commissioners' proposed schedule is with regard to the receipt of public comments and then subsequent action. If you need any clarification, Jean can help you with that.
Okay.
Help us all.
We'll maybe ask to hear from Jean in just a minute. I have Charlie Buckner signed up to speak. We received a number of, I trust everyone's seen, there's a number of letters and emails here at our desk that I hope everyone has seen from Carolyn Buckner, actually, and James Carnahan, and I think there's one more. Charlie, go right ahead.
Thank you, Marco. Charlie Buckner, 8100 North Hound Court in the NSA. As you just discussed, the ordinance includes moratorium on special and conditional use permits, but it does not include the concept plans. And what I'm asking you to do tonight is to amend the ordinance so that it does include the acceptance and advancement concept plans. This would affect primarily four large developments, including Claremont 2, Carolina Commons, Collison Crossing, and Litchfield. One of the stated reasons for the moratorium is to allow the planning staff to devote the time necessary to move the planning process forward. And town staff has said that, quote, accomplishing this and the other tasks that are already before them will be quite a challenge to the already understaffed and soon to be more so planning staff, end quote. You and the town staff and voluntary advisory board members will be investing a lot of time and energy in this moratorium, including work on concept plans in the moratorium would maximize the chance of a successful outcome within that six-month period. The ordinance also says that a moratorium is necessary to prevent decisions that could be inconsistent with the results of the planning process and to avoid the waste of time and resources on the part of developers as well as town staff that would otherwise occur if development plans are prepared and evaluated under ordinance requirements that may well be subject to change before the review process is complete. And these four properties are very likely to be affected by zoning and ordinance changes resulting from the moratorium. There are several environmental goals in the facility's small area plan that are not being accomplished, including preservation of greenways, parklands, along streams and easements dedicated to the public, conservation of natural areas along Bolin Creek, verification of the effectiveness of constraint-based density rules, and support of multimodal transport and sustainable development. All of these four developments will include greenways and easements. Two of them are directly on Bolin Creek, and the other two are on tributaries to Bolin Creek. All of the properties include both primary and secondary constraints, and all of them have issues of multimodal transport and sustainable development. In addition, staff has been working hard to update the land use ordinances so that they will comply with the upcoming Jordan Lake rules, which have stricter stormwater and water quality requirements than the existing land use ordinances. So if these concept plans are allowed to proceed through the moratorium period, they will likely advance beyond the stage to which new ordinances could apply. It would greatly decrease the effectiveness of the moratorium not to include the couple of hundred acres and well over 200 housing units included in these developments. There's understandable reluctance to impose on the developers the cost of holding the land inactive for 6 months. A typical permitting process can take 3 years from start to finish. The additional incurred expense could be minimized by placing these developments at the highest priority upon expiration of the moratorium and by expediting the process, much as you did with the elementary school 10 plan. So I'd like you to ask you to please change the draft moratorium ordinance to include the following revisions as recommended by the Environmental Advisory Board. One, town staff shall not consider or review any new concept plans for developments in the northern transition area during the moratorium. And two, those applicants who have already begun the concept plan review process must submit their special or conditional use permit applications prior to the effective date of the moratorium in order to continue the review process during the moratorium. Thank you.
Mr. Attorney.
I advise that I think that request, you can certainly do that, but I think you'd have to hold another public hearing to do it. I think it, especially since this board, as you recall, in the initial draft, when you set the public hearing, you took that provision out of the ordinance, and what was advertised was an ordinance that did not apply to concept plans, so that would significantly change the context of the ordinance and would require another public hearing. The second thing I would add, however, though, is that I would respectfully disagree that an applicant that goes forward and chooses to go forward and go through a concept plan, all these other ordinances may be in the process of being changed, would somehow be exempted from them or would get too far in the process. I don't think that would happen and almost certainly couldn't happen within the time frame of our normal review process. What may be in application or what may be in existence at the time someone applies, if the ordinance changes in the process, that doesn't automatically sort of grandfather them there in at the time that they submitted the application. They're subject to such changes as may occur in the ordinance, so it's kind of there's a bit of risk-taking that they would engage in to, you know, go through the conceptual plan and certainly to thereafter apply. So Just some comments about.
You're saying then that the implication is that an approved concept plan that's approved during the six-month period could be invalidated by subsequent changes.
Yes.
Made. In fact, I'm not sure I'd use the term invalidated, but effectively, yes. Yeah.
Compelled to meet the new standards.
As for potential conceivable, you know, the property gets the zoning changes so that you can't do that density or you can't do residential at all on the property, and those changes could impact properties that have not already received actual permits. So I think there's going to be a fair amount of
To the extent that somebody, you know, moves forward with a concept plan after the action, after us taking action on this tonight, they would be undertaking that risk. Clearly, it's obvious that that's a possibility.
That would be my judgment.
Okay. Are there other members of the public who would like to speak on this matter, Mr. Zinn?
Good evening again. My name is Omar Zinn. I'm a lifelong Chapel Hill resident. I'm a builder, and I'm a local developer. Just wanted to respond to several of Mr. Buckner's comments and reiterate what I mentioned last time in terms of the length of time and the process that it takes to move things through the concept review process and move through the CUP process as well. I believe Claremont Phase 2 is actually exempt. We have moved past the concept review plan, just recently submitted our CUP plan, so I believe that Claremont 2 would actually be exempt, as noted on the chart, from any moratorium changes. However, I would like to speak on behalf of all the other people who have to go through the long, extensive, I wouldn't say 2 to 3 month process, but I would say more like 9 to 12 month process with 3 to 4 revisions and comments from staff, which are all well-intended and exceptionally well done to with the intent to ultimately save the developer time and strangely enough, expedite the process. It kind of clears up a lot of issues ahead of time, and, you know, I can't say enough about the Carborough Town staff and what a wonderful job they do, as much as sometimes it can be frustrating. What, you know, I would also like to mention is that, you know, for an individual, you know, most of these people who have these plans, Zimmerman and Tate and the other brothers, Melville brothers, who are taking the other projects through. I mean, these are local people who are not of, you know, exceptional means. We're not a large multinational, you know, or national, regional even builder coming in. These are local people with limited means who, you know, have expended extensive amounts of time, money, energy, engineering to get these plans to where they're currently at. To put the brakes on them is unjust, unfair, and could be quite expensive once you go back, change the zoning, and start all over. So I would just like to speak on their behalf, even though I don't know if they're here tonight. But in addition, as I'd mentioned last time, if you look at the current water and sewer, primarily sewer extensions in the NSA, if you study these, and I don't know if you guys have looked at current OWASA maps, but I hope you have, you will rapidly see how little room there is right now for extension and expansion of these lines. And to do any development, to do any dense development, you're going to need water and you're going to need sewer. So I'd suggest that you take a look at the branches and the nodes of this system to truly understand what is available for development currently. I think that the issue at hand, you know, the same issue was brought up in the late 90s where there was a moratorium. A lot of things were put on hold, and then a lot of things opened the floodgate. I mean, of course, going to place a tremendous amount of work on Trish and her entire staff. But which is, I don't know, well, I'm not going to get into that, but if you look at a moratorium and you see, you know, the current land in front of us, you see what's available for development. You note that, you know, there's really not a whole lot available out there. There's the new elementary school, which is, you know, has been whisked through the development process, and it would be great if it were that simple for a developer. Of course, it's not, but another aside is, you know, for individuals who have land, my brother and I, we have 30 acres right across from that school that we recently purchased back in January before the moratorium came up. You know, we purchased that, and now we're going to be asked to hold the land for 6 to 12 additional months. So that's 6 to 12 additional months of interest on land. That is only going to increase the price per unit, per lot, that's ultimately built there. I think the moratorium issue is two-sided. It's one, I think we want more density. I think everyone up here would probably say we want more density. I think, on the other hand, a lot of people that live out in that area would say, oh, we don't want more density. We don't want more density. We want a rural residential feel. You know, I grew up right off of Old 86, right next to Calvander. You know, that area has changed somewhat, but, it, you know, in 20 years, the change will be dramatic. So, I mean, what do? We want the density, but, you know, people live out there don't want the density. We're going to put the brakes on development. I just think that as long as the amount of time that it takes to get a project through the concept plan approval, and I'm going to say 9 to 12 months based on my experience, maybe it's 6 to 9. You know, I think that this 6-month moratorium will ultimately turn into a 12-month moratorium, and I think, you know, why don't we just, as I mentioned previously, why don't we begin talking about this now? Well, you know, why haven't we assembled groups of people and discussed the kind of changes that we want to have? But, you know, for someone to take a plan through concept review at this point with the change that on the horizon, I mean, it's risky, but they should still be allowed to do so, at their own risk, so to speak. You know, I think a lot of people such as myself will get stuck holding land, and we'll get stuck listening to the debate, listening to, you know, all the different ideas, and ultimately it's going to take 12 months to increase density in the Northern Transition Area. So I just request that we begin the dance.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. Are there other members of the public who wanted to speak? Mr. Post, and then... You're not afraid to go after Phil Post, are you, James?
I'd rather follow James. Is
James that bad?
I was going to talk about him, and I'd rather talk about him afterwards rather than before. I'm really... when I look at your website and I see the mission statement where it leads off by talking about Carbo being in favor of well-managed growth, you know, I'm glad that you put that statement right up front. But, of course, it's followed by some statements that you say you support your economic base, which is locally owned businesses. And that, I guess that's why I rise to speak tonight, because there are members of the development community who have invested and are investing funds in this community. And I hope you'll support their viewpoint tonight as you talk about this moratorium. In fact, I'd urge you, as you well know, to adopt Resolution B, which is not to have a moratorium. I wanted to speak first about, again, if you'll permit me, just a few words about the moratorium and why I think it's unnecessary and not a good idea. But I want to specifically then refer to Mr. Buckner's comments. My first concern about the moratorium is measurable goals. as I read the, you know, when I appeared a month ago, I was a little befuddled because you called on me, Mr. Mayor, and I really came to the meeting to hear the reason for the moratorium, what we're going to try and achieve, and you called me up here, and I flubbed it. But at any rate, as I read the purpose of the moratorium, even in front of us tonight, where the main is to support the Vision 2020, and the second thing is to facilitate the NSA plan. It occurs to me, I just wonder how we're going to know, are these measurable goals? How are we going to know in 6 months if we've supported the Northern Study Area Plan? And how are we going to know if it's going to take 7 months or 9 months or 12 months to adopt the 2020 vision? I would prefer if the goals that were set out for this moratorium were measurable and that we would know, all of us, you and I know, Omar has just mentioned to you that it may be impossible to achieve this in 6 months, but without measurable goals, I'm not sure any of us will know when we've reached the end here. So I ask for, I'm concerned about the time it'll take, I'm concerned about the measurable goals, and I'm concerned about the net being too large. I don't have the exact figure here, but I think this moratorium is going to cover something like 3,600 acres, and I can't really believe that all 3,600 acres is being considered for rezoning. I just don't believe it. And one of the reasons is that the last night I was at a meeting with Mr. Buckner, and we were talking about a development proposal that's at a density of one unit an acre. And I know from talking to James, when I talked to him 2 or 3 months ago, what is the purpose of the moratorium? He said, well, you know, what we'd really like to do is get in place some zoning at 10 units an acre, 12 units an acre. And I'm thinking to myself, the tracts of land that I'm working on, if there's concern and neighborhood really concern at the level of one unit an acre, and if those and if their neighborhoods are one unit an acre and I'm proposing developments of one unit an acre, what is going to happen if I show up at a meeting at 10 units an acre? I can't imagine it. I really can't imagine it. I feel like in some ways I'm sort of a foot soldier in front of y'all because I'm the person that's been in these folks' dining rooms. I've sat around their kitchen tables and talked to them about these development proposals. And there's concern even when the development is very compatible with what's going on now. So as these, if in fact these tremendous rezonings occur, I just wonder, is the population in the Northern Study Area ready for these? I would say not, from my experience from sitting around their kitchen tables. They're not. And so I'm wondering if the net's too large. If there is to be a moratorium, can it be focused more on the areas that really deserve to be intensified to that degree? The second issue is an issue that was raised at the last meeting, something that I hadn't heard from my friend James, but it was mentioned from someone at the table there about affordability, that maybe through this process of a moratorium and getting greater density that we can achieve greater affordability. And there again, in thinking about it the last 3 weeks, I wonder how, if the price of lumber is not going to go up, if land isn't going to become more valuable, if the cost of holding land isn't going to increase these costs, and isn't the lack of housing supply going to increase maybe price levels throughout the town? You know, well, I'm an engineer, not an economist or a realtor, but I just can't imagine that this is going to be a process where house prices are lowered through a moratorium. I see land and house prices increasing during a moratorium period, and I don't see how we can chase ourselves to increase density to get back to affordability. I think we're going to be chasing our tail around to achieve affordability through a moratorium. The last item is somewhat that I mentioned last time, which was stakeholders. I know you've assembled your review group, and I really applaud the swiftness with which you've done that. And you've also made clear, which was a point I made last time, and maybe it was all in there last time, but that it's not just a rezoning effort, but you are going to change your ordinance. And, of course, I assume that the attorney will tell you that if you change your ordinance, it's going to apply to the whole town, not just the Northern Study Area. And I just ask the question, is the group that's going to be changing the ordinance broad enough? Are all the stakeholders there in place? Is there a person that's actually gone out and borrowed money and done a development and proceed with plans through this process today? Is there somebody from the chamber? Is there a builder? Is there a realtor? Is there someone who has some on-the-ground experience that's going to be changing these ordinances? And I would urge you to, if the ordinances are to be changed, and I've told you my opinion that they should be, then maybe the stakeholder group should be larger. But specifically, I rise tonight to disagree with Mr. Buckner. Certainly there are local development groups and two projects on your list that I have specifically talked about in the past. One is Carlton Crossing, the other is Litchfield. These have been in the conceptual process for around 12 months in each case. They proceeded methodically. There's been neighborhood meetings. There's been a tremendous investment in time and engineering time and contacts and work with the staff and the folks in this building. In each case, the local developer, who's a local business group, has purchased the land. And so there's I don't know all the details, but I know there's interest payments. There's a substantial commitment of investment so far. And so on the one hand, just out of the sense of fairness, these projects should be allowed to complete that conceptual process, the conceptual plan process, which is the way the ordinance is written for you tonight. But even more so than that, I was going to rise to ask you to allow these projects to actually go forward through the CUP process, well knowing that Attorney Burroughs told you that the ordinance may change as they go through. I think in each case, these local business people have invested so much of their time and money and are so confident that that you will not, you know, rezone these parcels because of their unique nature to maybe some of the areas that have some higher development potential, that I think they're willing to go forward. And I would urge you to allow them to go forward because of the substantial good faith investment that they've made. So I appreciate your attention again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Carnahan.
Good evening. I want to make it clear that I am not speaking for the planning board. I am speaking here this evening as the individual member of the planning board who brought this idea to the planning board in the first place. And the second thing I want to say is that, in the interest of full disclosure, I am a member of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. And I'm also a regular attendee of the Government Relations Committee meetings of this chamber. And so I'm well aware of concerns of chamber members, not only from what they have said here at these meetings, but from what they have been saying at GRC meetings that I've been attending. The history of this proposal is that for a number of years, the planning board has been seeing development applications for projects in the Northern Study Area, and they have been consistently low-density subdivisions. And, of course, that's what the ordinance allows. And consistently, members of the planning board have asked the applicants if they would consider doing something with greater density, doing something perhaps with more multifamily, doing something with some mixed use, a little bit of commercial. And consistently, what we have heard back from the applicants is, well, we don't want to do a rezoning, or, well, there's no market for that. The thing that's been most surprising to me, though, is to learn only recently, as a result of the conversation about the moratorium, in fact, that most of the applicants were members of the Chapel Hill Carver Chamber of Commerce. And the reason that is so surprising to me is that several years ago, I participated in the writing of this document, Toward a Sustainable Community in Southern Orange County, a report from the Council on a Sustainable Community. And I want to read a few things. This is basically a document that was intended to bring about environmental, social, and economic sustainability. And we're all for that. Quote, compact urban form with increased density and mixed use that fosters walkability, reduces dependence on fossil fuels, accommodates future growth, and it provides affordable housing. Quote, increase the density of transportation nodes and corridors in order to mitigate restrictive effects of the urban growth boundary on growth and ensure that there will be affordable housing. Support greater mixing of uses, commercial, residential, schools, culture, media centers. New projects and redevelopment could be seen as opportunities to create a more sustainable community, showing how business and environmental interests can coincide to help the community. So these are pretty interesting statements. It's a great document. But meantime, what I'm hearing from members, development members of the Chamber of Commerce, is business as usual. And my primary interest in using this, I think it is a crude tool. We have very limited tools to address really, really serious, epical challenges. Al Gore last week in a testimony described global warming as a global emergency. I think it's a global emergency that we need to address, all of us as individuals and as a community and as businesses. And I'm not waiting for Holly Springs to decide what they're going to do about it. I'm not waiting for Washington, D.C. to decide what they're doing about it. I'm not waiting for the Chinese to decide what they're doing about it. They all need to do something about it. Well, I want to do something about it in our community. And business as usual is not the way to go about it. This challenge is epical, not in the sense of empires, not in the sense of 10,000-year interglacials. It is epical in the most basic geological sense. It is epical in the sense of the dinosaurs. We face a challenge that is, could be, equal to what happened to the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs didn't see it coming. We can see it coming, and we've got time. A, that's the first good news. The second news, good news is that life survived. The dinosaurs didn't make it, but life survived. Life continued by evolving. And that's what we need to do. We need to evolve sustainable urban forms. We need to take the time. And that's why I brought this proposal to the Planning Board, which supported it and has brought it forward to our elected officials. And that's why I continue to support it. I agree, it's a crude tool. I'm sorry if folks are going to be hurt financially by it, but I am more concerned about what will happen if we do not address the challenges and we do not make some changes in the way we develop land, in the way we create the places that we live our lives.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak on the proposed moratorium?
Aaron.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Aaron Nelson. I'm the president and CEO of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. We represent 900 businesses and nonprofits in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community, 80 of which are based in Carrboro. It's hard to speak after James Carnahan, because James is doing something that's needed to be done for a long time, that is truth-telling. You know, it's, there's things we've known for a long time, and I have just the most incredible respect for his ability to articulate it and to just do excellent truth-telling. Some folks have said that we won't, that the earth will not survive what we're doing to it. I'm convinced it will survive whether we do or not, I think is the question. And maybe the dinosaurs didn't see it coming, and we did, and I think there are things that we can do about it. I rise before you tonight. Forgive me for being late. This is the prime hour for Colicky Baby, and I had duty tonight. Thank you, Ms. Brown. First, I wanted to thank you all. In particular, Carborough has been has shown that progressive communities can be pro-business in a way that other communities across the country are trying to emulate. There's a long history in this community of supporting businesses and business interests. You all were about the triple bottom line of environmental protection, social equity, and economic prosperity before anybody called it that or even knew that that's what it was. And for the Chamber of Commerce, you know, the issue of this moratorium, or some have called it a growatorium, has been a real challenge for us and our members as we've had discussions about it. Your objectives are laudable. And if we could wave a magic wand and cause more density, because of all the reasons that James and others have articulated why more density is right, and I believe that the way we'll protect our environment is by going dense and tall on the stuff we've already messed up. I mean, that's how we'll protect the stuff out there that we've not yet creeped out into, and your desire to increase the commercial in your community, in our community, is also laudable, and I think that if we all had a magic wand, we'd do both. But now, finding ourselves without one, you have to figure out the best way to get there, and I'm not yet convinced, and our leadership team is not yet convinced, that the moratorium is the only way to get there. You know, Mr. Carnahan is right, it is a crude tool, and you wouldn't use a hammer to cut something in half. So are there other tools? Are there not other ways to go about this? Can we not hire talented land planners who could go about the business of land planning with community input and then go about the business of rezoning? I think that your objective in calling for a moratorium would be to stop certain things you saw coming you didn't like, call a big fat timeout while we got ourselves in order, so that when we reopened the opportunity for folks to make application, we'd have new rules. But it's also my impression that many of the things that you desired to stop made their application. And so now there's very little in that pipeline except a few projects, some of which we find incredibly desirable, the Carolina Commons, for example. And I'm sorry if I missed the very beginning part of this conversation to discover whether that did or didn't, or will or won't be included. So I'm here to encourage you to think creatively about how else it might be done and whether or not the desirability of the moratorium as it was desirable 2 months ago is still as desirable today, and if there are not new or better or different ways to convene this community to set out the goals and objectives that you desire, to get your density, to get your commercial property, but to do it in such a way without a moratorium, without putting undue harm or pressure or insecurity upon those that hold property and are trying to figure out what best to do with it. So thank you for your time tonight, and again, forgive my tardiness, but I do appear to have arrived close to on time for this. Thank you.
Glad we were able to give you a break from that, Aaron.
Poor Sonia. All right. Thanks, Aaron. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this matter? If not, let's go ahead and have a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All those in favor of closing the public hearing signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Dan.
Yeah, a couple points I want to make. One is I really want to thank Mr. Carnahan for both the letter he wrote us and his very impassioned statement this evening. I think his use of the word epical puts a context on the small efforts that we try to make in Carborough to do things a little better. And I absolutely agree with you, James, that what we can do, we ought to do, and we really need to challenge ourselves in that regard. Two other comments in regard to some of the things we heard this evening. I think there's been some tendency to conflate the question of establishing the moratorium with the question of what the outcomes of the small area plan review might be. And I want to remind everyone that that process is already underway for reviewing the small area plan, and that process includes a public forum on April 14th in which you all can bring your ideas in to be considered in that. And, Steve, do we have a location and time yet for that meeting on the 14th? Or?
The McDougall Middle School, at starting at the proposed schedule is for us to start with the presentation starting at 8:20 on Saturday morning.
And if I could add to that, our committee, so it'll be at 8:20, you're saying 8:20?
Registration 7:45 is opening, 8:20 presentation starting.
8:20 is when the presentation will start on Saturday, April 14th at McDougall Middle School in the auditorium there, I think. In the cafeteria room, right.
And how long will that run?
That'll be till lunchtime, basically.
That's the schedule.
Before lunch. And I might also just add, I don't want to interrupt you too long, but I might also just add that the committee that's planning this is meeting tomorrow night here in this room at 7:30 p.m., the meeting that's open to the public, and we've so far been allowing everybody who comes to participate in the discussion, regardless of whether they've been appointed to the committee.
Okay. Which is the normal Carborough way of doing things.
Yes.
The other comment I want to make is fairly tangential, but one of the speakers mentioned the question of the expedited review for the school and whether developers in general might receive that. And my point in response would be that if there's a proposal that's clearly in the public interest and done on a not-for-profit basis, as the school is, I think this board would look very favorably on expedited review. And I think, you know, I would certainly myself encourage people to bring those kinds of projects forward. So having made those points, I'm ready to move forward for this moratorium if that's the will of the board, but I don't know if we need to have more discussion.
Jackie, so that's been moved. Is there a second for the moratorium resolution?
Or it would be attachment A, I guess.
Attachment A.
Second for the purposes of discussion.
Okay.
I'm going to vote against this. I've been thinking about it a long time and thinking about why I would vote for it. And the reason why I would vote for it would be that there's a lot of pressure to vote for it. But I know that this is going against the progressive canon and that people will say, I just don't understand and I just don't get it and that I'm not paying enough attention. But I'm not a big fan of density. And the reason that I'm not a big fan of density is that I don't believe that it really has a positive effect. I think that density in our community does not affect what's going on in the rest of the globe. I think what it does is it brings a whole lot more people to our community, and it puts a strain on our schools, our water and sewer, our roads, our civic and social infrastructure. I don't think, and then that adds to our taxes. It does not decrease the taxes. I haven't seen it yet. And we talk about its impact on of housing affordability. I've been listening to a whole lot of folks that are real, real excited about building up in downtown Carborough. These are not affordable units. What we're doing is we're creating a very hip and groovy community for a bunch of trust fund radicals who can come in here and buy $4, $5, $1 million condos and feel good about themselves and their low impact on the environment, when what that does is it squeezes out other people, it changes the town to the point where you can't recognize it anymore, and puts an incredible stress on the infrastructure that we have, and results in having to build more schools, results in having to talk about increasing our impact fees for water and sewer by 40%. It impacts a whole lot of stuff. I'd be willing to do that if that was going to really have an effect on global warming. I don't believe that it does. I don't see people moving into high-density areas and really using public transportation. I certainly don't see it as having an impact on housing affordability, because every time it's always the fleece that's held out, that this will make housing more affordable. And then when it really gets down to it, people weasel their way out of it. They want to buy their way out, or they can't really have that kind of thing. You can't have people living in $200,000 condos among the $1 million condos. Well, my God, we can't have people only making $80,000 a year, right? I don't believe it. I just don't believe that it works. I'm not seeing that it works. And the idea that that will then also be happening out in the transition area, you talk about wanting to have more density out there, that's just going to have the same effect out there. It's not as if we're taking the people who already live here and saying, let's come up with a more environmentally healthy way for the people who are, and I'm not saying close the gates, nobody's ever allowed in again. But when you build more density, you're not building for the community that is here, you're building to bring people in from somewhere else. And so that really has no impact on the community that's positive. Let's find some ways to have not as high density and live more environmentally responsible lives while we're here without overstressing our existing social and economic infrastructure. Now, I know people are saying she doesn't understand, she doesn't get it. My God, Jackie's gone over to the right, that I'm just kind of spitting on the progressive journal, but on the progressive canon. But I say, in this case, I think the emperor has no clothes, and I'm voting against it. I want us to look for other ways of controlling what's happening in the northern area. I'd like us to bring in some commercial, but putting high density out there, I just don't believe that it's going to have the effect that people say it is. Go ahead, vote.
I feel very strongly about that, and I know that it's an unpopular stance, but I just can't go along with it.
Joel, my intuition tells me that Joel wants to respond.
Hi, Joel.
Hey. You know, one of the reasons why I support the moratorium is because we need to have a discussion about, are we really going to have commercial out in the northern transition area? And are we going to have it in a fashion that people can live with it? Can people desire it? Can we attract it? And I have never been of the mind that we cannot allow more people into our community. Now, I don't know how we can get more affordability, but I know the way things are now, we're not getting it. We are not getting it. I think it is, for me, not for everyone, and I don't think people who disagree with me are wrong, but for me, I can't see how we can put the pressures on different places of the town to absorb all the density, and I feel like it should be spread out. I do. Because if you have these zones of more dense and less dense, there's this separation. And I still don't understand why the zoning tenet in America has been only a certain number of houses with the same size has to be in the same neighborhood. That very cookie cutter look. So I may not have a prevalence with the board on that. But I believe I have a prevalence on the board for we need more commercial. Because if we don't get more commercial out in the northern transition area and in Carrboro as a whole, because the ordinances will affect Carrboro as a whole, the ability for moderately income people, the middle class, not just poor people, but the middle class, we can wave bye-bye. We can just wave it goodbye. We can watch it go in the sunset like a Clint Eastwood movie, Western, not the Dirty Harry movies, because I really like the Westerns.
Hopefully it won't go down quite like that.
Well, you know, some people got
Sergio
to be
Sergio Leone to direct.
Now, as for the proposed 40% increase at Owosso, that discussion is going to happen whether or not anything else goes out there. That discussion is going to happen whether anything goes out there. And I think it's unfair to say that Owosso's expansion is due to the growth that's going to be coming. The Owosso expansion is due to the growth that we have now, some of which you and I voted for. Some of which you and I voted for when we said we were going to expand the quarry so that we could have a place and a resource and we could control our own destiny about water instead of being like all the other communities in the Triangle area, putting their hand in to get Jordan Lake water and knowing that what is requested isn't not enough as the amount of water that's in Jordan Lake. So let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about that. They were doing the expansion of the water, the sewer treatment plant, long before this 40% came up. So let's not dissuade the public thinking that the idea if we put more density up in the northern transition area, we won't have to pay for $50 million. Somehow it's got to be paid. Now, part of the problem, the reason we got to pay is because Owosso is a separate entity, and I'll get to that later. But people know my position on that matter. That was a bad deal for the towns and the county. So I just say that I support the moratorium. I'd like to give it a chance. Maybe nothing will be changed. But we certainly need to discuss whether or not we see more commercial out there. Because right now, when you look at that map, there's not any commercial zoning out there. And I'm going to argue to you that the county has already bought land to put another school out there, middle school. They're not going to change that to parkland just because we decide we're going to leave everything the way it is. I'm done.
Alex.
Thanks. I'm not much to add to that. As I've said, I'm of two minds about this mechanism, even though I'll plead guilty as kind of the one who worked with James to bring this away. As the right mechanism to get the work done. I'd like us to take a look back, though, and remember that the policy issues that we're talking about were decided as the product of the small area plan. The problem that we're having is that those policy initiatives that we agreed to not just as a board but as a community when we hashed through all that stuff 10 years ago haven't been happening as it was envisioned. So what we're kind of doing here is giving the community a chance to put up or shut up and implement the small area plan as it was designed. It's been very moderately successful, but we are running out of land and we are running out of time, and we need to make the best use of it in both instances. I am sympathetic to the fact that moratoria do hold people up and do tie up resources. I hope that we've constructed this so that while it is a relatively blunt instrument, that, and I think this is something that everybody needs to know, that exempt subdivisions and minor subdivisions are not affected by this. So if you're doing four lots or four units or less, that is not on the table here, so that small landowners are not put in jeopardy. And in fact, many of those folks are the people who are most likely to be put in, would most likely be put in distress. So we've tried to hone it as well as we can to again to try to deal with major developments that are likely to change the face of the transition area. Having said that, I think we really need to understand that this is a six-month period. We're not going to hold up anything that's already in the pipeline, as has already been drafted into the ordinance. I think that is fair. I think the people who have put substantial resources towards the use of their resources have a stake in the matter as well. And I think that the measure that we have before us addresses that adequately. I'll say right now, if we bump up against 6 months and the work ain't done, I will commit right now that I will not support a renewal. I mean, we get the work done in that period of time, or sorry, this is the time we gave ourselves to go ahead and implement what the small area plan says, find appropriate tracts for commercial, for higher density, as the small area plan indicates, so that it can give some predictability and actually produce some of the results that we have agreed on as a community that we want. I understand your perspective, Jackie, and I sympathize. I sympathize with your point of view. However, I do not view this as a change in policy or direction, but as a mechanism to implement what we as a progressive community have already decided we're going to do. And so, anyway, I already seconded it. So that's my pitch. I have reservations about using this blunt instrument, but in this case, I think we've tried to refine it enough, and that it's worth a try to get the work done.
Gee, you changed my mind.
No. Yeah, I did.
That'll be the day. Okay. Dan, and then Brady.
I just wanted to follow up on Alex's point and say, Jackie, I mean, I think you raised really important points that I think we need to address as a board, and I think the small area plan review needs to look at those, and that's what we need to do as part of that process. For me, all the moratorium is it says we're going to take a breather for 6 months while we work on those answers, and I think that breather is a good thing to do, and that's why I support it, and I hope by October we have a better sense of how we answer the questions you're raising than we do now, and that the moratorium helps us get there.
We need to look at the underlying assumptions and if they're really real or if it's just part of, like, the progressive canon. So, anyway.
Okay. When I said Dan earlier, sorry. I meant to say John. And then Randy.
John can't.
So I'm going to put John back in the queue. Go to Randy.
I'm ambivalent about this issue, and not specifically I think we agree, all of us agree with many issues that Jackie brought up. But to me, I think the whole thing about whatever is left over, you know, in Carborough to rezone and all that stuff is really little. I don't know how much of environmental and human impact is going to have in the future of Carborough. I think the issue of just calling for a moratorium achieved what we needed to do, which is to get these folks who are developing to the table and say, hey, let's discuss what is it that you want here. And maybe I'm too naive on this, but maybe you guys have been trying historically to do this thing. I would think that it's an issue of leadership. And because, you know, as the says goes, you can bring the horse to the river, but you cannot make him drink water. Are we going to achieve sort of, you know, you do it as you do it? Are we going to earn the goodwill of the business and the developing community, especially with the local folks? Or are we actually going to set ourselves up for whatever is left over to develop? Encounter the greatest resistance. I think I would choose to work this out in a giving the benefit of the doubt that these folks are local folks, and they are, and that they are good corporate citizens. So I think we had achieved what we need to achieve, which is to bring those folks to the table, and I think we should broaden the discussion a long time ago. I mean, the developments that we have today are the ones that I think should have been stopped a long time ago, but I think sort of it's too late. And also I agree with what Alderman Brown mentioned, that I think Carborough, it is a welcoming community. And as a matter of fact, in terms of density, we are the highest. We have the highest density in the whole state of North Carolina. And I don't want to. I don't want to use a tool that might erode goodwill of the of stakeholders in our community to achieve what we want to do. I mean, I think we should try to exercise our leadership and try to achieve what we're trying to get. I will not be supporting this moratorium.
Well, there's been a lot of good discussion tonight. This is a tough issue. I think that it's economic concerns that keep me very much interested in moratorium, because I'm very interested in the potential of commercial being explored in the areas that remain. I think it's important to have economic vibrancy spread out through Carrboro, and a moratorium may provide that pause, that time for discussion and reflection and review and exploration that the last 9 years has not provided. It has been a mushrooming development over the last 9 years, and I think if the the small area plan review and the inclusionary discussions that will happen as a result of that can provide some creative look at where we could be going and how we could be moving, I think it would be very much worthwhile. I think Phil posted said something about having a more inclusionary representation on the small area plan review, and I think that's worth discussing. I don't know how to escape this, but I think that that's very important, and that may be part of what helps to open up some creative discussion and other ways of looking at things. So that's one of the things that I would like to see us add in. I think developers, builders, I don't know how we want to configure that. I don't know how we go about reconfiguring that, but I think that's critical to the discussion, and so I support the moratorium because I think that it's going to bring us that moment of pause to look at our community, to look forward to what we want to see happening, to be able to review the plans that have been out there, see where they failed, see where the what happened with village mixed use. You know, it was so promising. And I think Carrboro deserves that. It deserves our time to do it right or do it better.
Okay.
I'm going to be very brief.
Okay.
I just want to put also in historical context. When the first small area plan was approved by both Carrboro and the county, it was negotiated because there were certain people on the county commissioners that didn't want to see that much commercial. And I cannot reiterate that the pressures on each government's tax base have gotten greater. And a reassessment about how that was done and why it was done, the time is ripe to modify it. We're going to have a discussion with the county commissioners on Thursday at the Southern Human Services Center at 7:30. I invite the public to actually come to Assembly of Government. Sometimes they are quite boring, and it is like watching paint dry, but I encourage you to come.
So you'll appreciate our sacrifice.
Well, you're a different, I mean, you know. But I think more people need to come and see what people are discussing about. What do they really mean about commercial development on the county as a whole, not just Carrboro, not just Chapel Hill, not just Hillsborough, not just that section of Mebane that's in Orange County. And the only other, you know, comment I would make is if the ordinances aren't on the book, then we have to approve what's in the ordinances. And I'm expecting a change.
Okay. Alex, and then I'm going to...
Yeah, just a real quick caveat here, which is the name of the group that is doing this is the Small Area Plan Implementation Review Committee. And what that means, and the charge is specific, is that we are charging this group, and the outcome is with coming up with a more effective implementation strategy, which employs village mix, which employs, we won't say village, mixed use, greater commercial, greater density where appropriate. I will take a very dim view of any attempt to hijack this process to try to undo what has already been agreed upon as the small area plan and what we're trying to achieve with it. So just a little caveat there that I thought I'd stick in there, which I think is important to recognize, and that's why we titled the group that way.
And the final thing I'll point out, as I say, we are meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 back in this room, so we would welcome any of you who have an interest in participating in our meeting tomorrow night. I'll just note, I think it's fine to look at whether we have adequate representation from the development community. There is a representative from the Orange Durham Home Builders Association who's participating in the committee, and there are also two realtors at least on the committee. So I think it's not that there's no representation there. That said, I'm causing myself to miss the game. But I have to say, there's hardly anybody, hardly any of these developments that we've already heard about that are listed here on this table right here are really, as a practical matter, very significantly affected by this moratorium. As a practical matter, hardly any of these are significantly affected. It seems like basically the Litchfield development is significantly is significantly impacted by our actions here. What's really impacted is more the type of property that Omar Zinn was talking about, which is a property for which no plan has yet been presented, but which has been purchased or is currently owned by somebody who's interested in exploring developing it. And I guess what I would say to that is that although that may add to some costs and it may not be the most convenient thing for the property owners, the fact is that's really just who we want to get a very early conversation with. And I think that's exactly who we want to put on notice about whatever changes are going to come out of this NSA PERC committee. So with that, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the moratorium resolution as written. All those in favor signify.
We've got to do the... statement of consistency, which
you
is
can probably do them
first.
All at once, but one is a resolution, the other is the ordinance. So they really are sort of a package.
Oh, okay. So the motion was for the resolution and the ordinance both.
Sounds like a winner.
Yes.
Second.
And the second was for that as well. So all those in favor of the resolution and the ordinance signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Nope.
The matter passes 5-2.
Motion to adjourn.
And Ivory needs us.
It's been moved and hopefully seconded somewhere.
Second.
That we adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passing unanimously.